Since the fire, I've been there. I don't lift my eyes. I stare down at the pavement. The tower is close, its presence palpable, the smell of carbon still there. The sky is a brilliant, mocking blue, and I resent it. It's quiet. I ask someone the way to Hammersmith Hospital. He seems annoyed, as if it marks me as a stranger. They're sick of gawkers, I know that. Chancers with cameras circling round. I refuse to look at it. That monument. I keep my eyes on the notices. The photocopied faces. They should be here, pushing prams, calling in the news agent, stopping for a pint of milk. Now, the colours leech, efflorescences of bright ink. As I cross the road, I'm hit by a jolt of recognition. The Bramley Arms, Frestonia. Memories are cascading back. I didn't realize how close it was, but I should have done. Because after the eviction, some of them were rehoused in those towers. It had been a community, an autonomous state founded on Freston Road. At the center was the Bramley Arms. And the Apocalypse Hotel, a countercultural nexus. A couple of years ago, I walked around there with Kay. We used to get taxis sometimes, short rides around the borough. We'd stand on the balcony, and she'd point and say, "Let's go there." It might be a new development going up, or a building she was curious about. She wanted to name every landmark, every new tower, as she surveyed the realm from the 18th floor. The cab dropped us off outside the Bramley Arms, turned into flats by then. There was a lot of building work going on. New apartments in muted red brick. These schemes represented a heritage version of London. An unreal, sanitized city. The brutalist blocks, with their collective values, had to be occluded, cladded. We were outside a new office block. I noticed the sign, Frestonia, and was shocked by the audacity. They were into this idea of placemaking, mining local archives for a micro knowledge of the area. They were confident then that the militancy had been eradicated, that only fossils remained. Thank you. Kay stopped. I shouldn't have brought her out. It was too hot. She was looking pale. I pushed heavy glass doors and helped her into a large reception area. It was air conditioned. They had water coolers and soft chairs. She sat down. I went to get her a cup of water. A woman behind the desk with a helmet of blonde hair. Her face was drawn, stretched somehow. The forehead was smooth like plaster. I thought she must have had Botox, a taut patch of leather above the eyebrows, like a conker, polished and smooth. I remember the voice, the home county's sound of it. There was something disturbing about its tone, like a public service announcement. She told us they get security guards and police to remove us from the premises. Remove. The way she said that, cold and flat, as if we were objects, unwanted bags cluttering up space, or something worse, rats or insects. An infestation. She disappeared from view. The reception was momentarily empty. Kay sipped the cold water. She said in a hoarse voice, "We should go." "It's okay," I said. "Only when you're able to." She sank back in the chair. I hadn't seen her look this weak before. Her strength was dissipating, leaching like ectoplasm. Then there were two others who looked the same, as if the receptionist had multiplied, replicated herself behind the scenes. Three of them standing over us, telling us to leave. They were all wearing the same clothes, chintzy rose patterns, linen skirts. I recognized the company HQ, a vexed evocation of England, an England of cream teas and cricket pavilions. The women were brash, Katie Hopkins types. I realized, now we were face to face, how much they despised us. The collision wouldn't have happened before. Now, it happened all the time. They've colonized this postcode. They think they own it. Demanding bylaws and legislation to keep us out. At this time, the tower hadn't been cladded. It was brutal and raw, and they despised it. It was them who were clamoring for the cladding, the disguise. The first one had assumed position of leader. Her voice, the most strident, leading the little mob. Now, Kay was struggling to stand, and I said to the woman, "Don't you have any compassion, any humanity?" I didn't realize then how potent, how prescient those words were. I saw the flash of anger, the loss of composure, then the regaining of it. Face returned to a smooth disc, all in a split second. It rattled her though, and as I supported Kay, my arm threaded through hers, I was glad, at least of that. Corrugated iron seems incongruous now. A vestige of the time before. Residual and stubborn. The fence is dinted. I push through a gap. A scent like nectarines. The sweet fragrance of blossom. I don't remember it from my walks with him. He'd have known about it. We drifted miles in search of places like this. Empty yards, abandoned factories, wild places we could occupy. I'm intoxicated by fragrant canopies of delicate pink. Finding the orchard feels miraculous. I luxuriate in the green scents of apple, the sugary notes of plum and damson. There are little paths running through, disrupted and overgrown, but still visible. I wonder who else knows about it. Can't have gone unnoticed. There's no one else around. For a second, I think I've wandered too far, that I might not be able to get back. I know immediately, it must have felt something like this. I've been having dreams, vivid and persistent, where he tells me it's all been a mistake, that he should never have crossed over. His spirit is here, residing in the terrain. I just have to channel it, find a way to embody it. There are soft points, thresholds, ways back in. Through the tilting scrum of a collapsing wall, a dilapidated terrace, gardens without edges, brick enclosures growing into each other, forsythia and red currant, tangles of briars. I realize now that the houses are occupied. There are washing lines, clothes drying in the sun, a bonfire, figures sitting around it. I step back, listen hard, try to glean fragments of conversation. There's an echo, something uncanny in the way they mumble. They've got a cassette player, a mixtape, cuts and jumps between tracks. The light feels different, metallic and searing. I realize it's reflecting off the Westfield shopping center. It's still there, the graffiti, the rusting, corrugated iron. I try to decipher the words, traces of white paint embedded like code. class war is being waged, but only one side is fighting.